Cambridge 105, and that's Mark Winter. It's almost tomorrow, and I'm pleased to say that Mark has joined me now. He's in Cambridge this week, performing at the Arts Theatre in Dreamboats and Petticoats. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you very much, Julian. Good to be here.
Thanks very much for coming. We were talking just as we were selecting which song to start off with, and so often, I'm sure you get this, people come along and they play Venus in Blue Jeans, which I guess you don't mind about.
Not at all. It was the lady of my life that kind of changed my life and offered me stepping stones to all the other things I've done, you know, plays, musicals.
How did it all start? What was sort of like the big break, for want of a
when
better description?
When I started, well, you're going back a long way.
Yes, I'm slightly
how long have we got?
Well, as long as you like, really, within reason.
Well, I wanted to be a singer from the age of about 13, and I used to occasionally stand in for a singer of a local group where I lived on a Saturday night when they played the Co-op Dance Hall in Peckham in South London. Well, the lead singer, who was a bit older than me, used to go to the pub for a few pints, so I used to stand in and sing a few ballady-type songs. And I was literally spotted by a guy who was looking for somebody to promote, as people did in those days. I think they still do, don't they? I think
to a certain extent. It seems to have changed a little bit.
I think people go around still and they think, oh, that person's good. I think I could, you know, get them into shape. And this guy approached me. His name was Ray McKender, who turned out to be a wonderful person and a very good friend and also became my manager. And this was July, dare I say, 1959.
Ooh, that's a little way back.
Obviously, you don't remember. Of course you don't.
Yeah, I'm afraid you had a couple of hits before I was born. It's not often I can say that to guests.
Well, I was 16 and a half. And anyway, he said, you know, have you thought about being a pop singer? Which I had. And in fact, I used to go up the West End and try and get myself interviews and things at these seedy clubs. They must have thought I was some kind of nutcase kid because this child would arrive. It was like 15, you know, and I'd sing them something like Great Balls of Fire, which doesn't really suit me at all, you know, the Jerry Lee Lewis hit.
Yes.
And with just a piano accompaniment, which also didn't really work, actually, if you had a really rumpty-tum pianist. And anyway, so I pursued. But this guy, Ray, saw me when I was 16 and a half, and we made a demo record. We sent it to all the record companies, and they all said thank you, but no thank you. But somehow, I don't know how, he used to also ghostwrite for some music press, and he got to know somebody who put him in touch with somebody who arranged a record audition for me at EMI, with Cliff Richard's A&R man, Norrie Paramore, and they offered me a contract, and he also arranged an audition for me at Decca Records. And I auditioned for them, and Decca offered me a better deal than EMI, so I went to Decca, and I kicked off with my first record in 1960, which was called Image of a Girl.
How did that do?
Went to number 11.
Pretty good start.
Yeah, even though on Jukebox Jury they said it was going to be a miss.
Who was the panel that week?
Well, Arthur Askey was one of them. And I remember he said to David Jacobs, you know, David, when I hear a singer like this, I think to myself, oh, God, they've opened another tin of them, whatever that means. I thought, should I send him a tin of sardines? Anyway, the record took off. And at the time, I'd also auditioned for a summer season at Bournemouth.
I guess, is the time, you know, it was sort of period, sort of variety was still just about there.
And there was
people were looking, I guess, for young singers such as you were at the time to add to the bill, to maybe bring in a younger audience
absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. But this particular summer show, the first one I did, was an afternoon pop show called the 2:30 Special. Named after, I suppose,
the 6-5 special or something like that, I guess.
Yeah, and all the people on the bill were pop people. We had Michael Cox, who had a big hit with a thing called Angela Jones, another guy called Mark Antony, who had a hit record. We had a guy from the rock TV show Oh Boy called Cuddly Dudley. I can't think who else was on the bill, but anyway, it was old. We had the Dave Sampson and the Hunters. Mm. Dave Sampson had one hit record.
I was interested, you know, looking at your career and what you've done. The way, if you like, you've transitioned. You've been able to. We were chatting off air about a kids' TV show you did in the early 1980s, late 70s,
early 70s and 80s,
early 80s.
Yeah, once
and now
time.
Moving into musical theatre as well. Is that, did you sort of plan it out, or did you just sort of go where your agent took you, as it were?
No, I felt after about 5 years of pop, really, that I wanted to expand what I was doing, because I was doing all the pop tours and all the stuff that was going on, TV shows, Thank You Lucky Stars and so on, Ready, Steady, Go. But I just felt I could do more. I wanted more of a challenge. And I said to my agent, who's a lovely guy, who was my agent for 30 years, I said, I'd really love to get into a musical. And he said, Mark, I don't think that's possible, because you haven't been to drama school, you haven't had training, blah-de-blah-de-blah. But anyway, he said, if a part comes up, I'll let you know. Well, a part came up in a musical in Ireland called The Golden Years, which was the life story of Percy French, the famous Irish songwriter. Remember him?
I don't.
Well, he wrote, "Have you heard of Phil the Fluter from the town?"
And
of
I've heard of that. Well, you know, although, you know, watching Val Doonigan in my youth,
that's,
you know,
right.
Done me
well,
some good.
Percy French wrote all those local indigenous Irish songs. He was brilliant. Also a very fine watercolour artist as well. So I went over to Ireland and I wasn't playing Percy French, I was playing the part of his sidekick. It was a true story, Charles Manners, who went on to form the Manners Opera Company in Ireland, because both of them went to Trinity College in Dublin. And then 2 years later, the show was brought to England, and I auditioned for the part of Percy French, and I got it. And that was my first musical at the end of 1969. It failed, only ran 4 months, unfortunately, although it was a good musical. It was sort of on the scale of My Fair Lady. It was a big turn-of-the-century, you know, fin de siècle kind of musical. Beautifully costumed and everything. Wonderful arrangements by the guy who did the arrangements for Mary Poppins, a guy called Erwin Kostow. So it was a really big production put on by Harold Fielding, who never did things by halves. He was like the Cameron Mackintosh of his day, you know.
Hmm.
But although the show failed, I was seen in that by another producer called Donald Aubrey, who put me into Conduct Unbecoming, which was my first play, which was on at the Queen's Theatre.
So that was like a straight play with no songs involved?
No songs, straight play, and it was a leading role, and it was a military play set in 1896 about a kangaroo court-martial. Wonderful play written by Barry England, really terrific. In fact, it should be revived. It's a terrific play, great drama. And I was in that for 15 months, and that kind of moved me into going off and playing rep in theatres and other musicals. Like,
and I guess
Phantom,
that's the thing.
Cats,
once you sort of, once you can manage to be known for another thing, people can say, "Oh, well, he's not just that singer. Look at this; he can act too." And that presumably leads on to,
well,
to other roles down the line.
It does, and you know, it's I suppose never being afraid of a challenge. I mean, I was a little bit scared of things, you know.
Well, I saw, for example, you know, you had a part in Doctors, the BBC One
series,
yeah, recently. So that,
yeah,
was like another element, I
that's
guess.
That's right,
isn't it?
Yeah. And I used to say this to my agent. I said, "Oh, God, I don't know if I can play this part." You know, when I was up with Henry V at Chichester in 1982, I said, "Henry V, my goodness, you know." My agent said, "Listen," he said, "you know, what have you got to lose? Go for the challenge." That was always his advice, and it was great advice.
So at the Arts Theatre this week, have you been to Cambridge many times?
Many times,
Did you come here in your singing days?
No, I came to the Corn Exchange, I think, very early on. But I've been here for the last 6 years in Agatha Christie plays. I was here last year in Murder on the Nile.
Ah.
Yeah, so I great theatre. Well, the city itself, I mean, what a city of culture. Who could not like being here?
Oh, precisely. We love it.
You know, when I was on, I went to London yesterday to do another radio thing for another radio station, and I was amazed at how fast the journey is. 45 minutes to
London.
That's
45 platform to platform.
Fantastic.
I tell my friends, you can get to London quicker than people who live in London can get to London.
That's true. Where I live down near Chichester, it's an hour and 46 minutes on the train.
Yeah, no, that's quite a stretch, a little bit different.
God, I wish I lived in Cambridge, because there's everything here, isn't it? Culturally.
So I noticed that the production has Venus and Blue Jeans, It's Almost Tomorrow, and Go Away Little Girl, which first time since 73 that you've done all those in one show.
Right, when I was doing a summer season at Bournemouth again,
right.
The season there in 73 as well as 1960, in 73 with Dick Emery and various other luminaries of the time.
The comedy great of the 70s on the BBC
indeed.
On a Saturday night.
Marvellous, wasn't he? And I sang those songs then, and actually in that season I also met my wife, so it's quite poignant.
It's kind of worked out quite nicely.
I sing some other 60s songs in the show.
Which
other
ones did you get to do?
Shop Around, Things, Little Town Flirt.
Yeah. And the plot line for the sometimes inconsequential in these things. You've got some great music.
No, this is
around.
Not. This is a very
works.
Good story.
Yeah,
it's
good.
Set in a youth club, and I play a part of Phil, the father who runs the youth club,
right.
Whose son is an aspiring singer-songwriter. So a bit like my early days in a way, sort of like full circle.
Can
you
see yourself in the character at all?
Yeah, I do, very much so. Oh. Yeah, except I didn't play guitar. This guy plays a bit of guitar, and he falls for the wrong girl. But I can see the girl he should be with. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those.
Ah, yes.
So we have a girl who's a bit showy. He falls for her, which is a bit of a mistake, I think. And there's another girl who's rather quiet, who I think he should be with. And there's a guy who's...
Sensible girl, you want to be brought home to...
Well, yeah. And also, she writes good songs. So
there
we
go.
Good combination.
Solved.
What more can you ask? And there's another guy, Norman, who's a bit of a swagger merchant, you know, with a leather jacket and thinks he's the bee's knees. But it's a very funny story, because it's a very good script by Marks and Gran, who wrote the Birds of a Feather TV series.
Which is coming back, I hear.
So it is, I believe. It's
very, very strange. Yeah. And on ITV, I think, this time.
There's a very good comedy in the show as well. I mean, because it's about you know, teenagers of the time, but they're very real, because they sort of been playing themselves. It's a great cast. and nothing is recorded. It's all live. They play all the instruments live. They sing all the harmonies live. They sing their own solos live.
And is it one of these things which can potentially sort of straddle the generations? People who were young at the time the characters were young can enjoy it, and also perhaps younger audience today can perhaps go and hear some good music as well.
Very much so. I did this show. The reason I'm doing it now on tour is I did it in London at Christmas for a 10-week season.
Because it was in the West End as well, wasn't it?
It was in the West End before that for about a year at another theatre. And then it shut down. It did its time. But they decided to bring it back to London to Wyndham's Theatre, which I think was available for about 2.5 months. And they asked me if I'd do it, so I went in. And this cast that I'm on tour with now are a completely new cast. So there's that young, fresh energy, you know, and they are playing for real. You know, they're playing themselves as natural people, but they are characters in the show. It's got a lot going for it.
Yeah, and you're the answer with this until Saturday, I think, it's running
just
through.
Just until Saturday, okay. Then we'll Leicester next week.
Leicester after that. How many more weeks left of the run?
Well, it's just started here in Cambridge.
Okay,
this
so you've got, it's several weeks
to go. This is the
inauguration.
We only open on Monday here this week. Till Saturday, then we go to Leicester next week, then we go to Southsea, and then we're everywhere. Edinburgh, Glasgow, you name it.
That's a good opportunity.
6 months.
Good opportunity. Nice summer's evening to go and kick back, have a glass of wine afterwards or before the show. Sounds great.
Not before the show.
No, before the show. Sorry. After the show.
After the show, indeed. Yeah, certainly. But, you know, we go to some great places, and this is the best time to be on tour. Summertime and autumn. Fantastic time to tour.
Yeah, it sounds like an ideal summer show as well. Well, Mark, look, thank you very much for coming into Cambridge 105.
Okay, Julian.
And good luck with the rest of the run.
Thank you very much indeed.